Hello!
Welcome back! This is Mary Thaler.
And Jeffrey Edwards.
And today we have a treat. We have a special part two of our last episode.
Which is writing as scientists.
Mm-hmm. So we had so much to say that it became two episodes.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about how we integrate the science or our science backgrounds into the writing process. So you mentioned this idea that, I think you mentioned that writing fiction, for instance, involves a different set of principles than writing science might. So can you talk about transitioning from one to the other, or how they differ from each other for you?
Science, for better or worse, often has a specific audience, which is other scientists. And you know how to talk to other scientists, and you talk to them in a certain way. With fiction, you have to talk to everyone. And so it opens up in a way that science doesn't. That's one of the differences. Here's one. Science is often looking for the general case.
Yes.
You are trying to find out how the thing that you discovered can be used and applied to other situations. You're trying to find the underlying rules.
Regularities and things like that. Yeah.
Fiction is always about the specific case.
Yes. Yeah.
You've got to go in on this character, this situation that is like no other character and no other situation that has ever existed. And you're not going to be able to apply it from one to another.
So you have to learn to move away from abstractions into something much more concrete when you write fiction.
Yes, there's a formulaic way of writing science, and that's not a bad thing. That makes it very easy for other scientists to understand exactly what you're saying, because they understand the rules of science writing.
Right.
And
so a lot of science writing is in the passive voice, for instance.
Yes.
Which is actually, can be annoying to read.
I'm waiting. That's got to change. Even in science, we don't have to do that as
we
much as we
do. Yeah, and a lot of gerunds and things like that, rather than the active verbs of things. So I must admit, my science writing has probably changed since I started writing fiction.
Yes, I was in grad school, my supervisor used to say to me, she knew that I was writing fiction on the side, and she'd cross out whole paragraphs, she'd say, "You're being too literary here, Mary, just, no, stop this, this is your short story that's coming out here, and we're writing a scientific text. Too many adjectives." So,
although that can apply to actual writing fiction,
because
the same parsimony that you want for science writing is actually a strength in writing fiction, or can
absolutely
be.
Absolutely.
It's not so different. People have these ideas that writing fiction is much more flourishing than, but it's not necessarily the case.
No, you have to be lean sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think what you can do in fiction and literary writing is you can break those molds, the formula and the rules for writing that structure scientific writing so much. That it's, in fact, it's part of the point of what you're doing, is to break out of the expected ways of writing.
So did you go through a transition period did you learn to write fiction as opposed to writing?
I mean, I've got copies of stories that I was writing back in third grade that were like little fairy tales and things like that. So I was writing fiction all my life. And then I think it was more, I kind of had served an apprenticeship where I learned to write scientific writing, and the fiction was continuing along the side. And there was a time when I thought that I would mostly do science, that science would be my full-time job, and writing fiction would be for evenings and weekends. And now we've reversed that. But the fiction never went away. It was always happening.
Because in my case, it did go away. I mean,
okay.
I started off as a young man, very interested in the whole writing process, fiction and so forth.
Yeah.
And then I essentially stopped for about 25 years, writing almost any fiction at all.
Yeah.
And then came back to it. So it's a very different kind of process.
And I imagine in those years, a lot of scientific work was being done. Like you were doing...
So I've written, you know, more than 250 papers in science. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's quite a lot of production.
That is a lot. Yeah. Did you find, when you came back to the writing, had all that scientific work changed your writing?
Well, I was worried about it. It's one of the things that when I started to write, I thought, because I had heard other comments, for instance, from editors about professors and how they think they can write, but they can't.
Oh, really?
And I thought, maybe my case. I need to be not too much hubris about the fact that I've written all these scientific papers doesn't mean I can write fiction.
Yeah.
So when I launched myself into this process, I thought, well, I really think I need to relearn the process of writing fiction and not be too cocky about it.
Yeah. Right? Were there habits that you had to get rid of?
The passive voice I had to leave behind.
Absolutely.
Descriptions in fiction require a kind of, in science you describe things and you need to describe things in detail, but they're not descriptions that have feeling in them. And descriptions in fiction have to have feeling built into them. So I had to learn to do that in a way that wasn't necessarily the case in my science fiction writing, in my science writing.
You had to let that part of your brain be turned on.
Yeah, and re-engage with that.
Was there anything positive about the science that carried over into the writing?
Well, one of the things that, as a young man, when I was interested in writing, I must admit I was very, not hesitant exactly, but unsure of myself.
Okay.
But having had a career as a scientist, I'm extremely sure of myself in the science world.
Yeah.
And that carried over into the writing. Even though I was relearning the process of writing fiction, I carried with me that assurance that I didn't have as a young man.
Yeah.
And so, I took on this huge project for science fiction with, basically the insurance that, well, I'll work it out and I'll figure out how to make this.
Yeah.
This work.
Because you'd already done huge science projects.
Exactly.
And how different could it be?
And though many of the science projects were as unclear to begin with as was this writing project, and they had all worked out. So, I kind of knew that I'd be able to find my way through this.
Yeah.
So that was different.
Because I work in the Arctic, because my work had to do a lot to do with climate change, people say, oh, wouldn't it be interesting if you wrote a novel that was, exciting and fun and taught people about climate change. It would be like a fun way.
You do kind of that in a way. It's not necessarily directly focused on that, but these issues come back into your writing through the back door, as it were.
I do, but that wasn't my first response. No. As soon as I heard that, I had this no. Which is odd, because I'm sure that a novel... It would be great if more people understood climate change, and people read novels, so it would be great if there was a novel that helps people understand about climate change, I guess. But it felt was strange. Have you ever had...
Well, I think it has to do with this thing that I was talking about earlier about feeling.
Yeah.
The writing has to come from a place of feeling. It has to come from the inside out rather than... I think you can write from the outside in. You can decide, I'm going to do this, it's going to look like this, and you can write that way.
Yeah.
And there are many people who do that. But I think it's certainly not the way I work. I want things to come from the inside and work themselves into out.
Yeah.
And so I won't take instruction that way.
No.
And of course I have a science career that says, I will allow myself to not take instruction that way because I have all this background.
That's what the PhD means. You have to do what people say.
But got you it. Have a PhD too, so.
It's true. Do some of your scientific preoccupations come out in your fiction?
I think, in fact, the whole saga of the science fiction monster that I'm working on, the 15-book saga, is about a kind of vision of humanity and vision of the world that is strongly fed by my scientific interests over the years.
Which is the other comment that I think both scientists and science fiction writers get is, what is the future going to be? People are often asking, scientists get asked that, the policymakers come to us and say, all right, climate change, 20 years from now, what's the Arctic Ocean going to be? What's the ecology of the Arctic Ocean going to be? And I think in science fiction, you're letting yourself in for some of that as well.
And
1,000 years from now.
Yeah, mine is very long-term future possibilities. So there is a kind of prophetic aspect to that.
Prophetic or predictive.
Which is probably more what's going on than predictive, exactly. But
do you think that's a productive way to read science fiction?
I think it's built into science fiction to a certain level. I think it's part of why one is pulled to read science fiction, that one has visions of the future. Obviously, none of these visions are going to actually occur, but they inform our understanding of how society is evolving and where it's going and what the possibilities and what the dangers are of that evolution. So I think... I think it's a legitimate subject in the science fiction.
A thought experiment, in fact.
Yeah.
Which is a scientific term that has made the jump into the literary world.
Was it Weltanschauung? The German term for worldview. Right?
Weltanschauung. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a word for everything.
Was the philosophers, I think, that... Einstein used that term. So.
Speaking of future episodes...
I think we can wrap up this one, and next time we're planning to talk about writing practices. So
the actual physical nuts and bolts of sitting down with a writing instrument and writing.
Yeah, it may be boring to look at, but it is interesting to do. So
So we hope you'll join us, and if you've enjoyed this, then do subscribe. There's a link below.
And we look forward to seeing you and talking to you again next time.
Great.